John chapter 16. So we already started John 16 last week, and we covered the first several verses because they really are part of what was being talked about in 15. We begin this last section of John, the upper room discourse, and really there's several different subjects that are addressed in the rest of this passage. And what we're going to try to do, hopefully to clarify things, is we're going to cover them less verse by verse, and we're going to cover them subject by subject. Because if we get what Jesus is saying about the first subject, then it's going to make a lot more sense as we talk about the second subject and the third subject and the fourth subject. So the first thing we want to focus on is Jesus and his talking about his leaving. I want you to notice verse 5. Okay? He says, I just cannot read with these glasses what it is. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? So Jesus is saying he's going to go away. How do you think the disciples felt about that? Now, he's already talked about it a little bit, but why is Jesus emphasizing this again? What is he? What's he trying to produce in the disciples? What do you think he wants them to think about? What's that, Bob? Okay. All right. So why did they not ask? April? Okay. Because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Absolutely. But you would think that they would ask about it. Do you think they really deep inside themselves believe yet? I mean, he's talking about leaving them, but don't you think there is in their minds and hearts this idea, well, maybe we're misunderstanding what he's saying, or maybe he's wrong about this, or maybe, you know. Vaughn, you had your hand up?
No, I'm just trying to figure that out. Thomas doesn't exactly ask, but he says, we don't know where you're going.
Yep.
He's kind of indirectly asking, I would think.
It is, but I think what Jesus is saying here isn't there's been no asking as much as he's saying, you really, you know, I've opened this subject up. You really had a chance here to grill me and talk to me and, you know, get a lot more information. And it almost seems like they just don't want to talk about it. It's one of those subjects that, yeah, they've mentioned it, but they really don't want to talk about it because they're not quite sure what's going on. So they're confused. Bob, then John.
I think maybe they might be scared. I know, you know, something that they're not going to want to have to, you know, lose it. You know, if he said, oh, go away, you know, they figure out their way, sort of thinking that, you know, they don't pursue the right plan, maybe they won't.
They could avoid it. Maybe if they continue to act ignorant and needy, Jesus will decide he can't leave. Probably not. But I agree. I think they are scared, John.
So, you know, usually when we don't want something to happen, we're in denial.
Right.
And so we put it off and we don't want to think about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and I think that's a good thought for us to recognize that there are a lot of hard things that we have to face as followers of Jesus, and sometimes we don't do ourselves any favor by not asking the hard questions and not facing the hard subjects. And you know, one of them I think of, and I've talked to Vanessa about this. I don't talk to her a lot about it because she doesn't like to talk about it, but you know, what she'll do when I die. Well, that's not a very comforting subject for a wife to talk about. But do you need to talk about things like that? Yeah, sure you do. Okay. So there are things we need to talk about. Barry and then Mary and then we're gonna move on. Okay? Possibly.
He's kind of scared.
Yeah.
You know, some of these things. But they do question it for further down.
Right.
You know,
yep.
Well, he kind of tells them what they're thinking.
Right. Mary. Right, and he's going to have to teach a little more, and they will. Barry's right, and you're right. They will later, in like 16, 17, 18, 19, they are going to be discussing a little bit. So let's back up a bit. What does Jesus actually tell us in verse 5? What does he tell us about, and also you might connect verse 16 with it. Verse 16 says, a little while and you will no longer see me, and a little while and you will see me. What's he tell us first in verse 5? Because I think these are important truths. Even though we know them, I think it would be important to... What do you learn from the word now? Oh, Jim, you had your hand up.
Well, to that point exactly, most of what they've been discussing, it's not like his bags are packed. Someday that's going to happen. But... we don't need to worry about that now.
Okay. So the word now tells us that Jesus is talking about very near in the future. He's going away.
Okay.
My hour has come. He told him that as well. April? Not yet gone to his Father. Yep. Not yet been glorified. I'm not sure what. Do you have a? Is it a question or a comment or? Exactly. So let's talk about that. That's the second thing in verse 5. Where is he going? Heaven. So what is he talking about? So he's not talking about the cross. I think that's important. Now the cross is really the beginning of believing. So when you read through this, you can get kind of confused. It can kind of, you know, your mind can play tricks with you. Because certainly, in one sense, he is thinking about the cross. And there is a leaving there. And actually, when he talks about, I leave you and I will return and you will have joy and whatever, there's this, it's like, okay, wait a minute. They had joy when he came back from the dead. But then, did he go see his Father? When he was dead, did he, you know, we don't really know a whole lot about what happened, where he went or exactly what happened. But the point is that in one sense, the weekend that is now upon them is kind of, in Jesus leaving and returning, a miniature of the bigger picture, which is Jesus leaving and ultimately returning. Okay. So the third thing, if you look at verse 16, a little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Now, of course, the disciples, they discuss this thing, don't they? They said, well, what is he telling us a little while? And so they were saying, what is this he says a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. And Jesus answered them. What did he tell them?
You're talking about what I said.
Right. He says, what's that? Right. And he just reminds them it's not, you know, in many senses, it's not difficult or complicated. He says, you're going to be sad. I'm going to be gone. Now, of course, that sets the framework for what comes next. What comes next is he's going to talk to them about the fact that because he's leaving, he's going to send the Holy Spirit. But again, they're not picking up on the reality of he's going to be gone. And so they're asking, well, what does he mean by he's going to be gone? And Jesus is like, I'm going to be gone. Bob? Yes. Yeah. Multiple times. He has told them that he'll be killed and by the Gentiles, he'll be turned over to the Gentiles and killed, and on the third day he'll raise again. Right. No, he's told them plainly because they don't want to get it. Vaughn.
I don't know, the thought that comes to my mind in 16. He says a little while. I think there's a burial and resurrection.
Well, absolutely. But you think about that. The not seeing him, I agree that that's certainly referencing the resurrection, but the not seeing him is also referencing, on a larger scale, him actually going away and ascending, because that's when he sends the Holy Spirit, and that's tied into, if I don't leave, then you get what I'm saying. So I agree, he is certainly referencing the resurrection, but what he's really trying to prepare them for, you know, these words, how much impact did they actually have to the disciples over this next weekend? Did this? It didn't brace them at all. It served very little purpose. But in the bigger picture, it served a great purpose, because they understood, oh yeah, he left us once, but he did return. Now he's left again, and we can count on that return. John?
So
it's possible, a little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me.
And then the third section, I go to my
house? Yeah, that's actually right. That's yeah, is that what the New King James says?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a comma because I go.
Oh, in 17. I thought you said 16. Okay. Yeah.
16, 17. Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe three parts.
Well, 16 is saying he's gonna go, and it seems to point to the resurrection, but you know, when he says it again, he apparently is talking about the second coming. Do you see what I'm talking about? I mean, I think Vaughn's right. When you look at 16, it seems inescapable that Jesus isn't, in one sense, talking about, I'm going to leave you now, tonight.
But when he talks about a woman in labor, after the labor, they will have joy.
Right. And it applies to both, doesn't it?
So that's what I'm saying. He could be talking figuratively about, you know, three things, going to the Father, and then later on coming to the end of the world.
Right. Yeah, and I guess my point is that he's trying to teach them that, look, I'm going to be taken from you and it's going to be really hard, but I will return. And that happened to them twice. And both times, they, just like you said, they were given this great joy because even though it was really, really hard when they were going through it, Jesus kept his word and he came back and was able to, you know, he was able to really bring them back to where they should be. Now, let me throw another curve at you. I told you that this chapter is somewhat difficult. When Jesus says, a little while in verse 17, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, is he talking about his second coming? Or... All right. Well, hang on a second. Or is he talking about seeing him on a different level through faith and through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's presence? I'm seeing some head shaking. Well, yeah, but death is, you know, death is Jesus' return for all who, because they're meet up again with him. But I get what you're saying. But I look at this and I think to myself, you know, isn't there a sense that when he ascended, their joy came at Pentecost? They didn't have to wait for the second coming. Jesus was back with them again, wasn't he? In his spirit. And I wonder maybe if that's what he's talking about. I'm not claiming to have great insight here. Jim, you had your hand up. Oh, no. Right. Well, didn't he tell them? Didn't he many other times teach them, you will, you know, you'll see me return, you'll this and you'll that about the second coming? He didn't. He sure didn't seem to give them any indication that, well, you guys won't have to worry about seeing the second coming, but it's going to, that's never how he worded it. Frank. Right.
And so focusing on you're gonna see horror, your whole world's gonna fall apart. And then you're gonna see him again.
Yep.
Now it may be that he's also looking far in the future, but I read through your kind of thing, it seems to me I gotta get you guys for the next few days.
I don't disagree with that. We know he's also looking to the ascension because he ties the Holy Spirit in with it. So you, really you have to include both. And really, as you look at what Jesus is doing here in 14, 15, and 16, yes, he's speaking to the immediate, but he understands these guys are going to fall away. They're going to break and run. It won't be until they actually see him alive will they actually believe for the most part. But they don't make that mistake the second time because they went through that experience and were able to take what Jesus had taught them here and were able to lay it over their experience of the death, the burial, the resurrection as a template and say, wow, that Jesus overcame. He did exactly what he said. And therefore, so now when he leaves again, I think there's that sense that, yeah, he did this once before. We can trust that he's going to do it again. And whether the fulfillment was in part through the Holy Spirit coming or whether it only refers to the second coming, I think the real point of all this is that Jesus makes a promise here that seems impossible, but he did it. Vaughn.
I get the sense, like, for example, when he says that you kind of let your sorrow in the world be happy, your sorrow will return to joy. That seems to me, certainly talking about the resurrection, you know, like the two on the road to Emmaus. They were so downcast, they were so sad and everything, and when they realized they were talking to the risen Lord, they're overwhelmed with joy and went back to Jerusalem.
Absolutely. I'm saying you don't have to pick. Do you understand that? You really don't. You don't have to pick one or the other here, because Jesus is clearly talking about both all the way through this passage. And because he ties his leaving in with the coming of the Holy Spirit. That didn't happen at his resurrection. John.
So the way I'm following this in my mind,
yep,
is that 16 is still in three parts to me, that he's going to be murdered, he's going to rise from the dead, and when he rises from the dead, he's now no longer going to stay on earth. He's on his path to go to his Father.
Right.
Okay? So you've got the whole joy of his resurrecting. Then you have the whole Holy Spirit and everything at the ascension. Because he's going to go away from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, there's
so that's how I did.
Yeah, there's no question that the resurrection, the ascension, the coronation in heaven, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit are, for all practical purposes, one event. They're really four events, but we understand that wheels were started, that when Jesus rose from the dead, you could just as well say, wow, the Holy Spirit fell. In fact, John 20, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on him. It gets really confusing. You're like, well, wait a minute, the Holy Spirit didn't come yet. But it's obvious that that's probably just a figurative thing that he was saying there, but it had already been accomplished to the degree that he could say, the Holy Spirit is now yours, because the resurrection started that cycle of events that ultimately leads Jesus to ascend and leads Jesus to be crowned king and leads Jesus to have the power and authority to pour the Holy Spirit out upon his church. Okay. Bo. That's probably my fault. I think that's where some of the confusion is coming from. But what I wanted to establish is that Jesus told them this, and then he actually did it. That's why you also look at the ascension and the coming of the Spirit and the second coming in the same way, because we know he also had that in mind, because he's talking about the sending of the Holy Spirit. So that's going to be an important part of this discussion as he talks about the Holy Spirit. That is contingent upon him leaving. So yeah. Yep.
So I think he's teaching them what he's doing there. He's letting them figure it out and letting them off the hook. So this is really difficult. This is going to be a hard thing to understand. He's going to happen.
Right.
And you'll get it. You won't actually get it.
Yeah. I agree. Vaughn?
Along with what you're saying in 28, it's very clearly the ascension.
Right.
No question.
Yeah. Yeah. So where we are, and we're going to close. Where we are is, Jesus is, he's made it clear to the disciples he's leaving. Next week, hopefully we'll have time to do more application. But next week we'll talk about, okay, well, what are the ramifications of that leaving to them? why is this happening, and what's he really going to do? And that's kind of divided up into at least two parts, in the sense of the Holy Spirit, and in the sense of the world and Satan and that whole thing. So we'll close here and pick it up next week.